This episode of the Logic Podcast is brought to you by AJA, together with Flame since 2006. If you would like anything that Boris FX has to offer, including Synthize, you can save 15% with our new affiliate links by going to logic.tv/BorisFX. Logic Academy Pro. Learn, connect, advance with Autodesk Flame. When you get a chance, check out logicacademypro.com. to see all the amazing educational offerings that we have.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you too. You know, I've known of your work over the last few years because I think you did a series on a watch, yeah, like building a watch from scratch in Flame. I mean, this was probably like 6 or 7 years ago.
It was 2017.
Oh, 20. Okay. Yeah. So, and then I just saw your new posting on Logic, the bottle label replacement, which looks amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I'm curious, do you have like a 3D background? Because I feel like a lot of your work is utilizing Flame's like 3D system.
Actually, I'm an engineer. I graduated from an engineer school.
Okay.
But I'm into this kind of computer graphics stuff. So I don't have a 3D background. I started with Flame in 2003. It's been lots of time, and I always work with Flame. But I'm into Blender and some 3D stuff, but professionally I'm not doing that. I'm just only doing compositing stuff.
Okay.
Professionally.
Can we, let's rewind a little bit. How did you get into post-production? What was your beginning?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a funny story. I was a student in the university. It was a survey engineering or something else. I had a friend. His name was Kuban. He's a very old Flame artist. Now he has a company called Zero Density. He's doing some virtual reality solutions. At that time, he had a company called Oxygen. I went there to visit him because I didn't know what he was doing. It was 20 years ago. And he showed me some stuff, some interesting stuff. And we were done and go to the garage to go somewhere else. And he showed this car to me. It was a BMW. And I was excited. And I asked, how do you earn this money? And he told me that I'm doing some compositing stuff. But at that day, I didn't know anything about it. And after some years, I quit my job from engineering and I went into this job.
I feel like I've met a lot of people that have either an engineering or architecture background that have come into compositing or CG, you know, something.
Yeah.
I think there's something about like the spatial, you know, awareness and whatnot.
There are lots of people who has art background, but they don't like some technical stuff like counting frames, calculating something. Nowadays it's easier because the tools are so complicated and advanced. But in the old days, it was a technical background needed, or you have to calculate something in your mind, maybe. For example, I'm watching Sinanvorals. Sinanvorals is my friend. We worked with him in the same company, Cinefect. He has a technical background too, I guess. I remember that. And he has some expressions on particles and
oh my gosh I know it's crazy. I had him on the podcast probably, it was about a year ago, and it was very cool to talk to him. And he's kind of a particle guru. That's awesome. Well, so you worked with Sinan. Did he kind of teach you Flame back in the day, or did you guys come up together at the same time? Or
no, we come together not at the same time. I was working in the Cinefect, the company's name. He came later, but I learned lots of things from him because he's older than me and he started to work before me, and we become close friends. Lastly, we went to Amsterdam for a Logic meeting.
Oh, that's right. Okay, cool. Yeah, was it IBC that you guys IBC. Were all there for? Perfect. Yeah, I saw some photos. I didn't get to go, but it looked fun.
It was fun because I was. It was the first time that I've been to Amsterdam, and I visited lots of places. I met lots of people there from US, from Germany.
Okay.
Lots of people from Germany.
Yeah.
I don't remember all names.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
but I added them from LinkedIn, and I have contact with them.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
It was fantastic to meet people around the world, because thanks for the logic to bringing that opportunity to us to communicate each other.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Like the forum, like just the amount of people that have joined over the last few years, and all the Logic Lives, like Andy and Jeff and Amanda and Randy have been doing. It's pretty awesome.
It's amazing. Thanks to them for
the, yeah, definitely. But it's also cool. You too. Like, you're contributing a lot as well. Like all these tutorials recently.
Yeah.
It's been really cool to watch. So
I looked at the watch rates, watching amount or watch rates in YouTube. There are lots of interest to the tutorials.
Yeah.
I try to pick some subjects that aren't that weren't mentioned before. I try to do like that. But old former flame artists know the details or know everything. Maybe like you has the that with the experience level you have, you might know everything, but some new beginners learn lots of things, I guess.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I've been using Flame for 8 years now, but I've already learned a ton just from watching your tutorials. You know, it's approaching it in a different way. You know, I come from more of very 2D based, right? So say I do any cleanup, mm-hmm. I'm gonna try and planar track or, you know, figure out a way to do that. Mm-hmm. But then when I see how you kind of modeled a bottle, tracked it in using the camera analyzer, and then it's like, boom, you could plop obviously there was a lot of work that went into it to make the lighting look good and all of that. I'm not saying it was like that quick, but I'm like, oh yeah, I got to start thinking about it in this way, you know, to solve this. So yeah, I think it's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I also worked for a television channel when I first started. It was a national TV channel, TV8. The name was TV8.
Oh, cool.
I was doing some motion graphics there with Flint. Flint was the,
oh, Flint, that's right. Yeah.
It is a very old computer. It was working on Silicon Graphics, O2. The computer's name was O2. And I miss sometimes the old days, but not so much, because today we have lots of opportunities. Like recently I bought a Mac, and now at home I have Flame. In the old days, it was impossible to buy expensive stuff.
Impossible. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not, you know, millions. Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, what now that you got a Mac at home, what did you choose to buy? Which Mac?
I bought the most expensive one.
Oh, cool.
Okay. M2 Ultra.
Nice.
I can say that I'm working in a company, Czech VFX company called UPP.
I've definitely heard of them.
They are doing some Hollywood stuff, and I'm working in the advertising department of the company. The other VFX side is doing some Hollywood stuff like Blade Runner, Barbie, or other VFX projects. We are doing some mostly advertising in the company. The last project I worked is Jennifer Lopez film. It will be broadcasted in Amazon 1 week later, maybe. It was the biggest project I worked in my life.
Oh, really? Oh, like what? And what type of work were you doing? Like what kind of compositing work?
I'm doing lots of type of things, like conforming the film, doing some compositing, cleanups. Because the project was huge and I worked in every step, there maybe 1,000 effect shots with 3D.
And
lots of people are working in the project. And there are four VFX companies. One of them was Buff, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're French, Paris, right?
It was a big project. So I worked in every step. So I can't say that I only did the composting things.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. So you were doing the conform for the whole film, or was it internal to your company?
The grading was done in another company in US. So we were sending the conformed effect shots together and send it to the grading.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
They do the rest in US.
Yeah, gotcha. Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, I gotta go to that website. It's been probably a little bit since I visited their website, but I've heard of the company, and you guys do really good work. So
yeah, it's a little bit famous company. It is my first shop in abroad.
Okay.
I was working in Turkey. I'm Turkish.
Yeah.
And I worked mostly in Turkey for lots of companies in Turkey, but 2 years ago I decided to go abroad, and I decided to learn different workflows and meet people.
That's awesome. Yeah, kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I'm totally out of my comfort zone.
I want to dive into that. Well, how has the transition been, and what differences have you noticed, maybe like coming from Turkey and working there and then working up now in the Czech Republic?
In the last company I was working in Turkey was a boutique company. There were maybe 5 or 6 planes. It is Roots Post Production. We were doing just only commercial or advertising stuff. And we were directly working with the clients. There are some suites that are designed for working clients only. And we were directly working with the clients. But when I came here, there is a huge team. So I'm part of this team.
Yeah.
I have a role in this team, I can say that. And the workflow is very different because the projects are bigger. So there is a project management software called F-Track.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
We are using that. And we are using ACES Color Space.
Yep.
In Turkey, in my previous background, I was always working with legacy Color Space.
Yeah, me too. I've made a similar transition. I work for a much bigger company, but like I worked at a boutique prior, same thing. It's like legacy, unknown, you know, you just whatever. Now everything's just, it's ACES CG all the way through the pipeline. And yeah.
Two years ago, I was trying to do everything by myself. I was 3D tracking, making matte paints, conforming the film all by myself. But here there is a data lab that doing the conform. There are some matte painters, Houdini artists, Nuke artists, lots of a big team. So it is very different. The workflow is so different.
Yeah. Do you miss kind of being like a one man band and doing kind of the whole project? Or do you kind of like, okay, I just get to focus on like these three tasks or like whatever tasks you're doing?
Yeah. Sometimes I miss the old one, but because we were like friends with the production people. We were going out, hang out together, eat some meals together. We work on a commercial and we were like friends. But here there's a hierarchy, like the supervisor, producers, lead artists. It is a bigger structure. But I like that because I'm learning every day a new thing. So it is good for me now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure like, yeah, meeting new people, they approach things differently and all of that. Yeah. So do they use, I know you're on a flame there. Do they have a lot of flame artists or are they mostly Nuke based?
Yeah, there are lots of, in advertising, they have lots of flame. But okay. In VFX site, I don't have permission to enter the doors.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay, yeah, so they haven't really locked down.
Yeah. There's lots of restrictions, and they made a security meeting when I entered the company.
Oh.
Don't take photos, don't tell anything about the projects to someone else.
Totally. So, yeah, yeah, we'll make sure you're all good. Yeah, we won't go into any of those details.
So the VFX site uses maybe some different softwares, but in advertising, there are lots of flames and Nukes and other softwares. We are working in a large working place. We are all together in a large area.
Oh, so it's like an open space.
Open space. It is a collaborative workspace. Everybody can talk to each other. But if you don't like noise or crowd,
it's not good. Where do you fall? Do you like noise or do you kind of like it more quiet?
After I plug my headphones, it is okay, and there is no problem.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, most of the companies I've worked for, you have individual, say, a flame bay or whatever. But I do notice a lot of companies, if it's Nuke-based, they'll have an open floor plan. Mm-hmm. And everybody's kind of just in the same. Yeah. But, well, I kind of want to go back. You mentioned you were on Flint doing motion graphics. Was that kind of your start within the Flame, you know, family of products?
My first job was doing motion graphics in television channel.
Yeah,
I started doing some generics for television programs. Yeah. And then I applied to a company that is doing some cinema stuff and advertising stuff, more serious things. It was called Cinefect. And there was a film laboratory inside the company.
Really?
Yeah. It was a member of Kodak Image Gear program. And all advertising shots are developed in that laboratory in that days. And after the Red camera released and Kodak shut down, closed, the company started to evolve to more digital, or it became started to become more recent companies like today.
Okay.
And changed. And I went to other companies. I worked lots of companies in Turkey, the biggest ones. And the last one was a boutique company, as I said.
Yeah.
It was in a garden, and the owner was my friend. So you can drink your beer anytime you want.
Nice, nice. That's great.
Comfortable.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's different when you work at a really big company. You can't do that's cool. So do you think, because I feel like a lot of your work utilizes like 3D elements. Do you think having that motion graphics background helped, or like, did you, you know, trying to create these graphics, you dove into Flame maybe in that realm of action and 3D space and all of that?
Yeah. My motion graphics background helped that, because I was watching some animations that are on famous TV channels like Euronews or lots of worldwide television channels, and I was trying to copy them.
Yeah.
I get used to that kind of stuff, that kind of motion graphics and 3D stuff. But I can say that I can do 3D perfectly, because there are lots of talented people. So I can say that I am very successful in that 3D stuff, but
within Flame, you're utilizing it in a really unique way.
Did you watch my logo melting tutorial?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was so cool.
It was kind of motion graphics, more motion graphics, not 3D. I'm trying to do different things rather than 3D, because doing 3D stuff in Flame is very difficult, because the viewport is not, like recent softwares like Blender. It is not easy to learn. The learning curve is very steep in Flame, but it is enjoyable.
Yeah, I did watch that logo and the particle effect, which is so cool. Yeah, what I find amazing is you did it in a very kind of simple fashion, right? Just using mats and then deforming the mats. And obviously you use some of Sinan's expressions, which are really cool. But yeah, a lot of the times you look at that and you go, oh, was that done in Houdini? Or, you know, you're thinking of like a 3D particle system. But I like how you're kind of using Flames. I guess I wouldn't call it ancient, but it's more of a, you know, it's an older particle system, but like you're yeah, making it look really good.
With a huge effort.
Exactly. And you mentioned Blender. So are you pretty proficient with Blender?
No, I can't say that I'm professional, but I love watch lots of tutorials, because they have a huge feedback when you try to learn Blender.
Okay.
Because gamers are using Blender, and there are huge amount of tutorials in YouTube.
Really?
It
okay.
It's easier to learn because of the user base. And I watch a lot of tutorials and trying to make things after watching that, but I'm not professionally, I can't do some.
Of course, of course. Have you found that while learning Blender, do you approach Flame any differently, like within its 3D? Like, have you like learned something in Blender? Like, oh wait, I could apply this in Flame by doing it.
For example, I learned some HDR.
Oh yeah.
Things in Blender, and I checked that does it work in Flame? Then I realized that it works. We have some similar tools, and I tried something that I learned from Blender, and it works, as you say.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you talking more of like the IBLs and stuff like that, or what?
IBL. You can use an HDR image for IBL, but I have to work a little bit on it because I couldn't find all details, all tricks. I was planning to make a video about that, but I have to do it perfectly and then.
yeah. No, please do. Like I've been really enjoying your videos. I'm curious, how long do they take to make? Because I'm sure you have to experiment a little bit and then edit it all together.
It is approximately the longest one, took 10 days maybe, because I'm working all the day. I'm working all the day, and evenings I start to work for the tutorials.
Yeah.
So, and weekends also, plus weekends. Because of that, it takes around one week.
Oh, I bet. But I bet.
If I just only work on it, then it will be more shorter. It will take shorter time to complete.
That's awesome. Are you finding yourself utilizing kind of these techniques a lot at your company in Prague? Or is this more of just kind of like fun to do on the side? Because I know now you're working for a bigger company, so they might have a CG department where they're like, all right, here, Albert, take the, you know.
For example, all 3D tracks are done in a different department. Maybe the software is 3D Equalizer, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a very popular tracking software, yeah.
The match move stuff is done by that department, or it is outsourced. And I was asking that, will we do some retouching or beauty stuff? No, it is outsourced. Are we going to make some mask? No, it is outsourced.
Okay. Yeah, that's so
but
funny.
There are some small advertisements. I can use that techniques in that. For example, the last one was a tobacco cigar company. It's a small project, and I use some particle stuff there. And the supervisor like that. He didn't ask how I did.
No. That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, you have seen kind of a difference coming from Turkey. Like, were there bigger companies like that down in Turkey too? But you just worked for more boutique companies down there.
There are no big companies like that because industry is working for local markets. Mostly.
Okay. I see. Yeah.
But last years I worked in two Netflix projects in Turkey. TV shows are popular in Turkey now. So I worked for two Netflix projects, but they broadcasted in Turkey, not abroad. Maybe abroad, but countries that Middle East, South America, or I don't know. I don't think so. You can watch it, or it will reach you.
Okay, yeah.
But I worked for two Netflix projects when I was in Turkey, and I started to use Asus Color Space in that project because they forced us to use that.
Right. Were there any pain points for you going into Asus? Because I know sometimes graphics can be a little weird. You really have to like color manage those properly.
When I export something and check it in some other place, the colors were completely wrong when I was
started to do it.
But there are lots of scripts in the company, and when you are exporting, you select from the list and there is no problem. When you deal it with yourself, every export has a potential of wrong color space, and mostly most new cards do the same mistakes also, I see. We get used to work in legacy, and sometimes there are some negative values occur and some exceeding values, and in comp you get into trouble. You have to clamp some colors in some points. For example, for the mat, if the black is blacker than
below.
Black sometimes.
Yeah, or yeah, if the white is above one, yeah, you got to clamp it. Yeah, yeah.
It is not Aces color space, but it is floating point workflow.
Floating point, yeah.
But most of the people who are related with CG stuff always uses linear color spaces rather than gamma corrected ones. They always prefer to select the color space that is linear because the comps will be more proper in that color space. But I get used to legacy and it is easier for me. And some tools are not working perfectly. For example, when you're tracking something, but I'm not sure in the last versions it changed maybe.
No.
But you have to convert it.
Yeah, you have to convert it. Well, what I generally do is like convert it into Rec 709 or, I don't know, log and track and then take the color management off or something. Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, that's where Nuke is a little better. It just tracks no matter what. I mean, maybe if you switch it to a different color space, it might track better, but I never get the same errors. Like if I'm in Nuke tracking, whereas in Flame, if you go into the tracker, you're like, oh, I got to color manage it before. So there must be some like old code they have to update, is my guess.
Yeah.
In the tracker.
Whatever day it is. Getting better and better, so
yeah,
I guess they will fix it and we will get better versions of Flame.
Yes, exactly. Well, are you like, because I noticed in your latest tutorial with the bottle, you're utilizing the camera analysis. Have you found like good results with that over the old mono analyzer that they had?
To being successful in that subject, I recorded the video in 4K. The resolution is high, and I recorded it vertically, and I gained loss of resolution because of the bottle is vertical, and the video is vertical. And the frame rate is high, and I got lots of frames. I have 60 frames per second.
Oh, I didn't even realize. So, okay.
So it is, and the light is not changing too much on the label.
Right.
And I can say that the video is very suitable for.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
But it can be used in a lot of cases. You can change the label for a demo shot. There can be lots of close-up shots that will the tracker will work.
Yeah.
In the new tracker, there is a point cloud is generated, and you can select every point on the point cloud, and you can convert the points every point to accesses. So it is, in my opinion, it is better than the old one.
Okay, that's cool.
But the old one is still there, I guess.
I'm
using it at 2024.
Gotcha.
I asked Sinan Vural that is the old one still there? He said yes. If you want to use the old one, you can.
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's still there. So if you want to go back to that, yeah. So back in Turkey, were you doing, like, once you kind of got more into compositing, were you using a lot of these techniques, like your bottle technique? Maybe not using the camera analyzer because that's a new tracking, but the idea of building a bottle within, you know, using shapes within action and then, you know, projecting stuff.
If the label replacement is complicated, like turning bottle, I was using that kind of technique. For example, I worked for a Coca-Cola commercial in Turkey, and they wanted to change the logos to a different logo, original to zero or something else. And I used that technique because if the label is rotating and you can track back, you can place it with hand, you can position it with hand and turn the bottle for the label. You should use a 3D technique to replace the label. The 2D techniques will not work in that kind of situation. When I can't track the shot, then I make a 2D track and place the 3D bottle with the 2D track. It is a kind of, maybe it is not technically so true, but it...
that's cool. It works. Yeah. No, I like those techniques. Okay, this one's not working, but okay, I could go back to an old school tracker, but still use a 3D object in there. That's cool. That's super cool. What are you excited about with kind of the newer Flame versions? Or is there anything you want to explore more?
I want to do a different tutorial. I'm watching some social media stuff, lots of Instagram stuff. And I see some interesting stuff there, and I try it in Flame. That I can do it or not. If I achieve to do it, there's a video that I make, someone's cutting a head. Did you see it?
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen
it
that.
It's my YouTube.
Oh, okay. I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I missed that.
It's a funny one. I used motion warp tracking there. It is a very interesting subject. Maybe I can do a tutorial for it.
Yeah, for sure.
I merged two footages together by using motion warp tracking.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It analyzes all the pixels, the movement of the pixels, and you project the image onto that moving pixels. It can be used for so-called the effect used in Superman movie.
I'm trying to remember which Superman, too.
there are some glitches. There are some glitches that is deforming the picture.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remember the exact name of the effect.
Yeah.
But you can do some effect.
Okay, I gotta check this out. I missed that. When did you release that one?
it is a short video, not a long 16:9. It is vertical short videos.
But okay.
If you check the video section, then you can see it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
It is interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. So essentially you're kind of like watching some videos and then you're like, how can I bring this into Flame or like replicate it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, which ones have failed? Are there any effects where you're like, oh, wait, okay, I can't do this?
Mostly 3D ones cannot be achieved, like volumetric smoke and other things. It's difficult to achieve because we have a particle system that is old.
Yeah.
You can... do also things, but not kind of. For example, there is a software called Embergen.
Oh, Embergen. Yeah, I've heard of this. Yes.
Embergen.
Yeah.
It is real time, and the results are
pretty good.
Unbelievable. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
Have you been playing with Embergen at all?
I'm watching some videos.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying them in Flame because it's difficult.
Oh, no. It would be, yeah. You would have to.
Some volumetric stuff going on.
I don't know if you have a PC, because if I remember right now you can only get it on Windows and Linux. I don't think they've released a Apple version yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's in progress, so it'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, so you have some ideas of upcoming tutorials. What should we be on the lookout for?
The one with the head. Knife is cutting the head. It is maybe this one. And I have another video about the tracker, the same tracker, but you manually track points by yourself.
Oh, cool.
You put a camera analysis mode to the scene, but delete the image created at the below, what is called, 32-bit.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about like the motion vectors or something that it's created?
Yeah, you delete the motion vectors pass, and when you press track, it goes to 2D trackers.
Oh, I've never done this.
Yeah, I want to make a video about that.
That's so cool.
You manually track some points, but it can be too much.
Yeah.
As you wish, maybe 20, 30. And you manually track some points. And when you exit the tracker, it becomes a 3D track.
Whoa. Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah, please do that. I would love to see that.
I want to.
Awesome. Now, would you use it on the same shot as the bottle, or would this be more of an environment track?
No, I will prefer something different. Because if there's a heavy motion blur and a light is passing through the label, then it will be difficult to... for the tracker to track that.
That's awesome. Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I want to be on the lookout for that.
You ask that, what is the difference between the newer versions of Flame and old time?
Yeah.
The most significant feature, or it is not feature, the speed change is dramatic. When I prepared the watch tutorial 7 years ago,
yeah,
it was very heavy and it was very difficult for the machine. We were using Z840.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember those.
Like that.
Yeah,
it has the latest GPU, but it was very slow. But nowadays with the Mac, it is very fast.
Wow! Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So just even the speed, of the new Macs. Yeah, I remember the Z840s. They were a great machine for many years. Yeah. But it's crazy to think how those are aging out. You know? Now it's all about Macs or Threadrippers, you know? So
and people nowadays are making custom PCs.
That's true.
I'm watching some people. And they are faster than Macs.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't find them reliable because you have lots of custom parts. When you try to buy them, you have to wait lots of time for the delivery, and someone must help you for technical stuff.
Oh, true. Yep.
They are mentioning about liquid cooled systems, and they seem complicated to me. So Mac is good, I guess.
And it just works. Yeah, it's easy to set up. You could have pretty much any application you want running on it, minus Embergen right now, but everything else. I'm curious, do you prefer advertising or do you like the feature film workflow? Because I know you've worked on both commercials, but also film work.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, but I'm used to working for advertising much more because film work takes lots of time. The shots are very long. Sometimes tracking will be a problem or masking something will take lots of time. So advertising stuff is more enjoyable for me because the deadlines are shorter.
True.
Maybe you can share what you did for the advertising, but nobody will watch your breakdown about the motion picture film because it will be long. Advertising is more interesting for me.
Yeah, I agree. I've mostly worked in advertising and there is something about the fast turnarounds where you're always on a new project within a couple of weeks. And, you know, you talk to some film compositors and they're on the same shot for like a month and you're like, that's crazy. Like, that's just mind blowing that you could spend that much time, you know, on a shot. Do you do your own projects on the side at all? Like, do you like shoot any of your own stuff or?
In my spare time, my hobby is now preparing some videos, but
yeah,
I'm looking for some cameras that is not professional, like Canon cameras.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I will shoot something when it's spring, I will shoot something in Prague. I'm living in Prague.
Nice, now. Nice. That's great.
Maybe I will shoot something outside and make some stuff with Flame.
Oh, that'd be fun. How is the weather right now in Prague? Is it pretty cold?
It is cold.
Okay.
Sometimes it is minus 10.
Yeah. I guess that's another reason to stay inside and make some more tutorials, right? You know, stay out of the cold. Well, Albert, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I can't wait to see more videos. I've been loving everything you've put out so far. So, I mean, it's been, huge. I really appreciate you putting the time in and making these tutorials. Actually, before we go, there's a few questions. Are you Flame or Smoke Hotkeys?
Flame, because I never used Smoke in my life.
Okay. Oh, okay. So going to that point, how was your transition to when they brought more of the timeline into Flame? Because I know back in the day, it used to just be the tools and everything was kind of, in an action. What was that transition
there
for you?
Some reels on desktop and you are cutting like a negative.
Yeah.
When we switched to the timeline, it was more comfortable and we didn't use it anymore.
Yeah,
we
didn't touch it. So it was a good transition for you.
Yeah. We threw it away.
Yeah.
Went our way.
That's amazing.
Sometimes I'm using the desktop because you can see if you make it bigger, the proxy is bigger, then you can see frame by frame.
That's true.
It's a good. You can match two clips together if you put it on timeline.
Yeah.
But Flare doesn't have that ability, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Because I haven't used a Flare in forever, but you're right. It, mm-hmm. I don't think it has the reels, right? The desktop reels. But then Flame Assist, I'm trying to remember all the differences. But yeah, it's weird. That's why I just stick with Flame. Just you have everything.
Yeah. The transition was very fast, and because it is more comfortable and more advanced, so there's no need to go back and use that old kind of stuff.
No, not at all.
I started with Flint, and I used some computers, the huge computers that are called Octanes.
Yeah, I've seen those. I remember those in machine rooms years ago. Yeah,
Onyx. But I don't miss that time because there were lots of problems. If the machine crashes, then it will boot up again in 1 hour, maybe 45 minutes.
It would take that long?
Because I don't want to remember those days.
I'm assuming you use a Wacom pen.
Yeah. I got one
here.
It is a small one.
I like the small ones too. I'm an advocate for the small Wacom pens, or the tablets, yeah. Do you have it in front of your keyboard, or do you kind of use it off to the side?
My keyboard is at the upper side of the tablet.
Oh, okay.
I use it with my left hand.
Okay.
My four fingers are always on top of F1 to 4 keys.
Yep. Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah,
it sticks on me.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, it's funny because I use a Mac as well, but I have a PC keyboard and I kind of like, because I don't, there's something about the newer Mac keyboards I'm not a huge fan of, but do you like the Mac keyboards or do you like the...
I didn't use one. I have the gamer keyboard.
Okay, yeah.
Because it is very, very cheap. I looked to the prices. Prices of the Mac keyboards, and it is now so they are very expensive. So I'm using a PC, ordinary one.
Yeah, perfect. I kind of do the same. And then for desktop, are you horizontal or vertical reels?
I'm horizontal.
Okay.
I didn't use any vertical before, but I remember some stories about the compositor before Flame. The name was Harry.
That was all vertical.
They are telling some stories. I didn't see that system before. But in that system, the reels are vertical. And in the first days of Flame, it was vertical.
Really?
The story was like that. Yeah. And they say that it is like negative cutting because they hang the negatives like this.
Yeah.
And they cut it like this, like that. So because of that, it was vertical, but after timelines occurred, or after we switched to linear,
they switched
from non-linear, then that vertical thing disappeared at that
point. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I've met a few Flame artists that still use the vertical, but that's interesting. I didn't know the first versions were more vertical. Yeah, that's cool.
It is a story I hear about it from my old friends.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was talking to someone not too long ago, and they've switched to vertical because they felt like they made less mistakes, like dragging clips. And that's the exact reason why I don't use vertical, because I feel like you have to do like one more click or gesture to move a clip, whereas horizontal, you can just go boop, boop. You know? It's just faster.
And there are lots of stories about the past. I have an old friend that is telling me these stories. For example, in the past days, if someone uses only action, they are called action junkie.
That's funny.
A lot of bass, it is called bass monkey. Or there are lots of.
Yes, that's true. And I would say some of the flamers who I met that, let's just say, started in the early 90s, they are very action based. Like they throw everything into action. And I started in 2015. I'm more like batch, like just keep everything out as much as possible. Yeah, to each their own, you know? Actually, speaking of that, are you very action oriented?
I'm batch oriented because I'm similar with you. I like to use, I want to see the nodes and I want to check the functions.
Yeah.
And I assign lots of context views to some nodes. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is when you make it in action, in deeper side, inside of action, it is difficult to context view it. So
exactly.
I prefer to see it in one schematic.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I try, and how I set it up is context one is, let's just say, the source plate. Context two is my render, you know, the output. So I can see it. But then, you know, I'll occasionally do like the 3, 4. But once I get up to 8 or 9, I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening here? This is too many. Yeah, that's awesome.
And maybe this can be a future request, but in Nuke, you can copy whole script with Control C, and
yeah,
you can paste it to another machine, or
yeah,
you can paste it to a web page, and from the web page,
it's all text.
You can copy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, all text. This might be a future request, but if Flame is like
that, that would be great. I mean, yeah, the first time I saw that with Nuke, I was like, whoa, you could do that? And yeah, I didn't realize. I mean, obviously, it's just code, right? All the nodes are just the user interface. But yeah, it's crazy. You could just literally copy, paste into an email, send it, and then it shows up in a Nuke script. You know, as long as you have the source plates, it should be all good. Yeah, that's so cool. That's so cool. Speaking of which, have you used Nuke at all? Or are you Flame only?
I can use a little bit, not heavily, but I can understand what's going on in a Nuke script, but I can't do something. But I watched lots of tutorials, and I can make some basic cleanups and understand what is, when I see a camera trigger there, I understand.
That's cool.
What is function.
Yep, yep, totally.
But I can't do something professionally or...
Yeah, I'm sure if you give it a week or two, you could probably jump in and be just fine.
Everybody says like that, yeah. That's much more time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, yeah.
The first thing that I couldn't find is, where is this mat?
I know. No, me too. And it took me a long time to figure out the channels in Nuke. And It's just a simple merge. I was like, why isn't this working? But I'm like, oh, I have to pre-multiply and then put it through the merge. Yeah, I know. It's coming from Flame. It's like, there's definitely some hurdles you have to hop over.
In Nuke, the channels, the alpha channel is floating in the...
All the way through.
All the way through. And you can select it at the end. But in Flame, you have to...
Yes.
Go to the beginning and connect it and then carry it to the...
Yeah, so there's like pros and cons, because there's moments in Nuke where, because I use it every once in a while, where I always have to like shuffle channels or like remove channels so the alpha doesn't patch through. It is nice to have it at the very end where they're like, oh, can you export a mat? Whereas in Flame, you're like, oh, crap. Okay, yeah, let me go back. And then you're like, I've you're merging mats together, so it's all built into one. And you're like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? And then that's where the older Flame artists go, oh, well, you should have just used action, because all your mats would just be piped out through an action. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Well, Alper, thank you for taking the time to come on the show. I can't wait to see more of your tutorials. And
thank you, too.
Let's definitely keep in touch and all of that. So thank you so
much. Thank you, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to attend that podcast with you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This episode of the Logic Podcast is brought to you by AJA, together with Flame since 2006. If you would like anything that Boris FX has to offer, including Synthize, you can save 15% with our new affiliate links by going to logic.tv/BorisFX. Logic Academy Pro. Learn, connect, advance with Autodesk Flame. When you get a chance, check out logicacademypro.com to see all the amazing educational offerings that we have.